guys, it's Mina. On today's episode, my buddy Greg Rosenthal and I are going to talk about some of the top free agents out there and some trades. Please take a minute to subscribe if you don't already, rate 5 stars, and leave a review, positive one. Before we get to today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast. That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. This week, Sarah talks to Lindsay Gibbs about her coverage of women's sports, the historical fiction novel she wrote about survivors of the Titanic who went on to play with each other in the U.S. Open. That sounds amazing. And her Power Plays newsletter. You can find That's What She Said wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks Jalen Ramsey was right to tweet, "Free all my dogs, LOL." I actually don't like that because that implies that Lenny's not free. He is a free man. He makes his own choices. We have a mutual friendship and, you know, family, so whatever. Jalen Ramsey is talking about his former teammates on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wouldn't it be funny if he was talking about, like, Tom Brady or something instead?
They could be buddies. I mean,
unlikely friendships.
Is Lenny free, though? I mean, it's his show. He's not even here. Needs a leash if he comes downtown, you know?
You're not supposed to tell people when he's not here. You're already ruining the show. That's Greg Rosenthal, one of the hosts of Around the NFL, star at NFL Network. You can see him all over. And he co-authors a very useful, very long, very detailed list. Is it the 100?
Top 101.
101.
That extra one for branding.
I thought that's what PFF's thing was. Now you guys are, because they do the PFF 101, right?
Oh. Well, we've been doing it longer.
You should go after them.
7 years.
Feels like good beef potential. You rank the 100 top free agents. And we're not going to talk about all of them as much as I love to talk about Jaron Reed or whoever. Actually, he's probably in the top 50, right?
He's in the top 50.
He cracked the top 50.
40.
Who's number 101?
Jordan Reed. We have a rule where we need someone like a splashy name that just sticks at 101 no matter what. So even if people go on and off the list, like Michael Vick, I remember years and years ago was the 101. Like, you need a nice name. But we didn't really have any good options. I wanted Geno Smith, but,
didn't crack it.
West, you know.
Was he on a 1 year deal with Seattle then?
Yeah. Yes. You know, only two quarterbacks in the NFL have made the divisional round in each of the last 2 years.
Geno and Tom.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
You know,
oh, MVP. My God. You're right. Patrick Mahomes. You're crazy. Didn't make them. Wow.
I'm just saying, if you want to win, bring Geno in. He's like, when Russell Wilson needs someone, when Philip Rivers needs someone to talk to, he's got Geno.
He was a great coin flipper this year. I want the Seahawks to go after PJ Walker or Jordan Ta'amu, these XFL superstars who are just taking the league by storm. We're not going to talk about the whole list. We're going to talk about the top 10 on your list, which includes a lot of guys who are probably going to get franchised, but I think they're still really, not all of them will, and I think even whether or not teams should franchise them or give them long-term contracts is an important decision. And I also think they're going to dictate the rest of the market, in particular the pass rushers on your list. So I want to talk about that and some other, the cornerbacks as well. Then after mailbag, we're going to talk about some of the potential trade targets, and there's some crossover, actually. But before we get to that, we have to address some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Which is also pertinent. It's a guy who we're not talking about as one of the top 10. I'm not talking about any quarterbacks, because I've done so much quarterback content on the free agents and the quarterback carousel. But we have to talk about one quarterback, a guy who is being rumored. It's been reported that Tom Curran, very plugged in Patriots supporter.
My guy, Tom Curran.
The Globe?
Love that
is
guy.
It the Globe?
He is with NBC
Boston.
Sports Boston.
Okay. There's interest in San Francisco. Now, Bill Barnwell and I recorded a podcast right after the Super Bowl in which he trollishly brought this up, because we were talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and, like, why did San Francisco lose the Super Bowl? What happened to Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter? How much blame does he deserve versus Kyle Shanahan? Yada, yada, yada. And this was the final thing that Bill brought up. He said, you know, Mina, Tom Brady's from San Francisco or the Bay Area.
Yeah, Bill.
And I was, you know, we were like, you know, Beavis and Butthead style laughter. Then the next day, it was aggregated by our own network, became a hot topic all week on shows such as Get Up. And
I mean, that's good business for ESPN Daily.
That's how we do it, the Ouroboros. And here we are. We're back at it. Only now, it's not a trollish comment. It's reality.
I remember where I was, actually. I was walking, like, back and forth the Monday morning or afternoon after the Super Bowl, and I was listening to you and Bill waiting for my flight, you know, trying to get some exercise, and he threw that out there. And I pumped my fist because I was like, yeah, like, Bill is understanding the game now. By even just throwing this out there. And it does, you know, make some sense. But now that Curran is saying, I think in his words, that there's interest on both sides, that this is not coming just right from Brady. Because, of course, Tom Brady, if he's looking for potential teams he would want to join, why would he not want to go home? I mean, that was his team. He had season tickets to the 49ers. They just made the Super Bowl. They obviously have a lot of talent on that team. Kyle Shanahan would be a different sort of offense, but it would seem pretty ready. Of course, he would want to go, but it's more surprising
from San Francisco
that there could be a little interest from San Francisco. But if you remember back in, what was it, 2017, you know, when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if I'm getting the year right. You know, they called asking about Brady first.
Hoo-hoo!
John Lynch. You know, that was their initial interest. And they said, no, Brady's not available. But
I confused with Wes Welker at the Super Bowl. We don't have to talk about that right now.
You really did? That wasn't like a bit? I do. I thought that was a bit.
It was not a bit.
Yeah. No respect for Wes. I mean, it's a great receiver.
I confused him with a Super Bowl caliber GM.
Right, but Wes is like 15 years younger. He's a lot younger.
It's true. Lynch has aged a lot too, but it's uncanny. The resemblance is uncanny.
I think every Patriots fan out there listening to this news, though, maybe they have mixed feelings. I am a Patriots fan. I don't have mixed feelings. This sounds fantastic. Bring Jimmy G home.
Well, and that's what's implicit here, right? Because that Curran didn't report that the Patriots had interest. There's nothing about Jimmy G and the Patriots and all this, but that's a crazy good option for them. My whole thing with the Patriots has been, and this whole Brady, I don't know what you want to call it, Brady courtship, Brady free agency, whatever. Saga. It's not quite a saga yet. It hasn't been long enough to be
a saga. It feels like it. This week especially is this purgatory week. The NFL added an extra week this year. Mm. And they added an extra week a couple years ago too. They're trying to stretch out
this
offseason
next week.
Because not much is happening before free agency.
So my stance on Brady and the Patriots from the beginning has been, what the hell are the Patriots going to do? Right? Everyone's like, I mean, I understand Brady, some teams might have appeal. I think it's debatable, quite frankly. Everyone throws out like, oh, the Colts are such a better landing spot than New England. You know, like I made the mistake of pointing out on Twitter yesterday that Tom Brady had the best average starting field position of any quarterback in the NFL, which I'm not allowed to bring up. Apparently, that's irrelevant.
Well, you mentioned it might not be an upgrade from Derek Carr to Tom Brady.
My point is about
which I don't think was a crazy point to make. Tom Brady's 43 years old. Last year, he was the first 42-year-old quarterback ever to play that amount of games.
It bothers me when people talk about situation and they don't acknowledge defense and field position and like the various things that make lives easier for quarterbacks. That was my point. So I think from Brady's standpoint, there are teams. I think the Niners, absolutely a better team to be on right now than New England. You know, especially because you and I were talking about this over a couple slices of pizza. No, you didn't have pizza. You had a tuna melt or something. But
chicken pesto sandwich. I mean, don't give me a tuna melt.
You know, we were talking about what Brady struggled with last year. And I was saying, I think sometimes there's this assumption with older quarterbacks, it's just that their arm strength declines, like the Drew Brees, what we're seeing. And I don't think that was the case with Brady. I actually think his arm strength is fine. Like, it's not exactly what it was, but I don't think it's that he can't put any sauce on his throws. I think it's more how, you know, obviously the receivers and their inability to get separation, to get open at all, how he reacts to pressure, that beautiful pocket movement that was his calling card, that's been his calling card his entire career, that's what you saw sort of decline a bit, right? San Francisco is the perfect landing space for a quarterback who's starting to struggle with all the things. You like receivers who are wide open in the middle of the field? Oh, you like having like all the time in the world because you're using play action every single series? It would be great for him, but I'm not convinced, like you, that it's an upgrade for San Francisco.
I'm not. In the short term, like 2020 only, if you knew Brady's, you know, gonna be relatively healthy, which you don't. Because, like I said, he was the greatest 42-year-old quarterback in NFL history by far. I went and looked for this. Like, no one ever, I think Warren Moon made 9 starts. No one had even played an entire season at that age or above in NFL history. And to count on him, like, being healthy, and he's had these nagging injuries the last few years, seems crazy. With that said, I think he probably played a little bit better on balance than Jimmy G last year. I really don't think this is, like, a crazy homer take.
That's a spicy take.
When PFF had Brady's 2019 ranking a little higher than they did his grade, and they had him in the top 10 than his 2018 grade, I was not shocked by that, just watching every play. Now, he's someone that, like, counts on winning before the snap and counts on a schematic advantage that he sort of creates probably more than any quarterback in NFL history. And he didn't really have that last year. So I don't know how you separate that when you're grading throw to throw. But, you know, a great Patriots supporter, Greg Bedard, does the same thing. He grades every game. He thought he was better in 2019 and 2018 too. And in both of those years, he would have been higher than Jimmy G. Wouldn't this just be a good story, though?
After the suit, not for Jimmy G.
Why not?
Well, I guess if he went.
Well,
to
yeah. I mean, it'd kind of be a slap in the face, but he'd also be returning to Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, and, you know, it might be good.
Just to, I guess, stick to the, would he actually be an upgrade from Jimmy? Because I think that's the only real question mark here, right? Your Unfuego take needs a. We need a moment to digest that.
I'm just trying after to be like Super Bill Bowl. Barnwell.
After the, well, here's what Bill Barnwell said after the Super Bowl. Here's what I said first. I said Jimmy G playing quarterback in that offense is like bumper bowling. Bill said Kyle Shanahan must look at, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, he's got to be looking at Jimmy G and being like, dude, I serve this up to you on a platter. Right? I mean, because we don't need to relitigate the fourth quarter and the throws that Jimmy missed, but all I need is the guy who's just going to make those 3 throws. So then you look at Tom Brady, you think he'll make those throws.
He knows where and would know when and where the pressure is coming from. They weren't exactly mixing it up at the end, and they didn't have an answer.
Here's the 2 reasons why it's not an upgrade. One, Tom Brady is going to be old enough to be in the presidential race next year, that he's entering.
Yeah.
That he, you know, he's still younger than the candidates. This is my political commentary. If you're alienated right now, I'm sorry. Getting spicy on Super Tuesday. The other thing is, Jimmy G is 26 mil on the cap. Next 3 years, extremely, extremely
handsome,
team friendly contract. They can basically do whatever they want with it. Donnie's long game. What if this was always the, for those who don't know.
It's insane that they have the same agent. It's insane.
Anyways, Brady, you think, is going to require at least 30 mil, 2 years. Like, Brady's not doing a 1-year deal, right?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't do a.
No, that was the whole reason he wanted to get this freedom. If they had just signed him to a 2-year deal last year, I think they would have avoided all this and the Patriots would be happy. I do believe that the Patriots do truly want Tom Brady back. Bill Belichick does too. And I don't think it'd be smart for almost any of these teams to get Tom Brady. As much as I was saying, I thought you might have outplayed Jimmy G last year. Like, you're not just playing for 1 year at a time. And there's very little reason to think he's going to stay at this level. Like, it's only getting worse. It's not a good long-term solution for anyone, except for the Patriots, somewhat.
So congratulations to everyone who just listened to us talk about this for 20 minutes, feels like it's been about 20 minutes, only to say he's going to end up back on the Patriots. How much time and words are going to be devoted to the Tom Brady free agency that are ultimately going to culminate in him staying?
You say that now, and whatever happens, people are just going to, well, of course he's going back to the Patriots. Or if he leaves, there will be at least a handful of people that's like, of course, been saying he's gone the whole time. But no, as we sit here today in early March, I don't think there is an of course. I really don't think the Patriots No. And I don't think Tom Brady knows in his heart of hearts. So how can any of us know?
I think there are 2 or 3 teams that to him seem potentially like upgrades. Max over New England in terms of situation. And I think he needs to figure out if that's actually going to happen.
And what kind of sell that they give them. If they get whatever they said to bring Josh McDaniels home, or all the other, you know, people that have left New England and then come back, and there's been a lot of them. Like, whatever their sell is, for him to feel the love feels like it's part of it. From his dad, from his football dad, Bill Belichick. I mean, they're out there doing top 100 team shows together, buddy-buddy on the set, and he's going to go to San Francisco. It would be fun. Just for the NFL story of it, I like chaos. Let's bring it.
Do we think San Francisco and Tennessee are going to be better than New England next year? In a quarterback
San Francisco,
vacuum.
Definitely.
Yeah, no question.
Tennessee, I wouldn't say that. Because
regression.
Because you still have, well, they were worse than them, you know, for most of the 2019 season. And even that game is, you know, it's a 1-point game. Yeah. They were close. But one of them has, you know, Belichick, so I'm giving a slight edge over Belichick with whoever.
Let's talk about the other top free agents. Like I said, we're not going to talk about the quarterbacks. Your number two your number one was Dak.
Yeah.
Talked a lot about Dak on this podcast. Number two is his teammate, Amari Cooper. By all accounts, did I get it wrong?
Isn't Chris Jones up there?
Did I use the wrong list?
I don't know this list that well, but I'm pretty sure it's Chris Jones.
What if I used one of your colleagues' lists instead of yours?
I mean, we don't allow that. We like have a brand.
All right.
Thing.
Well, we're going to use the names on my list and compare it to you from your list. I did think Amari Cooper was kind of weird to put at number two. Let's talk about Amari Cooper.
You know what? They might have taken Chris Jones off of it.
Because Amari three on your list?
Chris Jones is, I think, the only one who's officially been franchised.
We're going to talk about him.
So that, I think he was taken off.
We're going to talk about Chris Jones when we get to the trade.
So that's my
fault. Trade section.
We can strike this from the record.
No, keep this. They need to know how the sausage is made at NFL.com. Let me ask you this about Amari.
You think he's too high at two?
No.
No.
It
would have been three if Chris Jones
is there. We're not going to argue about the rankings.
Okay.
Is he a top five wide receiver in the NFL in your mind?
No.
Is he a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL? Borderline.
Probably not.
Really?
Yeah, because
he's about to become the highest paid.
People love just putting, you know, oh, he's a top 10. But then if you actually did the names,
it's hard.
In my head, ballparking it, my guess would be he'd be like around 11 or 12 for me.
Yeah. He's an interesting one, right?
But because he'll be maybe the highest paid wide receiver in
the
NFL.
He will be, I think, assuming this deal gets done. I mean, some of it depends on how this tag stuff shakes out. But he's an interesting one to me, right? Because when the trade happened, when Dallas traded their first to Oakland, most of the nerds mocked it, myself included. I don't know if I mocked it that hard, but, you know, I didn't think it was a good idea. Then he came in and completely changed their offense. Dak Prescott is a different quarterback when he's on the field. He has all of the attributes of a number one. Tall, fast, physical, incredible route runner, good hands. And yet, sometimes he just disappears.
Right.
That's it. It's like there's no, that's his ding.
That's why he's not in, would be in my top 10. I mean, if you think about how their season ended up with him on the sidelines, there's been a couple weird things in Oakland and Dallas where you're just, why isn't he just a little more dominant? I mean, he did not have a great December, late December. With the Cowboys, the way it ended, and they're still trying to sign him, but there's been this weird thing among Cowboys fans and Cowboys reporters that, like, everyone's just kind of penciling that he comes back because they want him to come back, and they're the Cowboys. But it's like, that's not how this works. Once you get to this point, you're probably leaving because you're bidding against 31 other teams, and Cowboys fans, if the new CBA, they'll transition tag him. Well, it doesn't matter. Then they can sign a contract that puts $40 million in the first year. You already have Dak Prescott on your cap now for $33 million. You've got a million defensive line slots to hit. Like, I kind of think Amari Cooper's gone.
So the tag thing, by the way, just to be clear, so obviously Dak's getting the franchise. I believe if there is a new deal, teams can't use both tags, right?
That's correct. If the new CBA is signed in the next two weeks.
There's a few teams that are very much affected by that, and Dallas would be one of them.
Yeah, they would put the transition tag on them. But when you do that, usually the player leaves, because then you're still bidding against the whole league, and they could just,
there's
some team with $100 million, you know, Colts can put $40 million in the first year and just say bye.
For pass rushers, wide receivers, and corners, there's just like a few teams out there that are just going to bring chaos to any market. So,
and teams, I think, are going to want to spend more this year. There's too much cap space. I think teams saved up too much. It was this crazy market correction, and the cap's supposed to go up a ton with this new CBA.
One case against that, and I think this would be the case for Dallas letting him walk, is this crazy wide receiver draft, right?
Yeah.
So if you're Dallas and you're looking at your various holes, you mentioned, you know, the defensive line, the entire secondary, potentially. We're going to talk about Byron Jones. He's on your list in a minute.
They have...
Their secondary is a nightmare.
I think they're losing...
It's so bad.
The secondary is a problem. Byron Jones is losing, but the defensive line is a massive problem. Malik Collins is a free agent. Robert Quinn is a free agent. They're probably going to cut Tyrone Crawford, who's been there forever.
They lost Bennett.
Bennett's a free agent. They have, like, DeMarcus Lawrence and almost Woods. No, not Woods. I'm thinking of someone else. But DeMarcus Lawrence is there, and that's about it. Like, they've got all sorts of problems.
In the preseason a lot. Oh, Dorrance Armstrong. I liked him in the preseason. But anyways, yeah, there's just major holes all across at every level on the defense. So you do – we're going to talk about Byron Jones in a second, but I do wonder if you let Amari walk, if – there's a chance they could keep Byron Jones. Because the whole time, I think it's been being presented as either or for the Cowboys. Hmm. Like, you know, you got to keep Dak. Okay, well, then we can keep. And look, it would have been a lot easier if they didn't pay, you know, an off-the-ball linebacker and a running back last year. They could probably keep both of them.
If they had signed Dak a year ago, then they could just franchise Amari.
And
Byron
then,
Jones, I think, is going to get paid like crazy. Denver is supposedly
both
was
of these
supposed to be interested in, both, but now they have AJ Bouye.
Both Byron Jones and Amari could stay in the division too, because you got to think Philadelphia is going to want one of the two.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's crazy. I mean, that's obviously their needs.
Like Byron Jones,
the Giants.
We're coming off the combine, and he to me is like had one of the best combine performances ever. And when you're in this draft process, like that's who you're looking for. Is Byron Jones. Like,
you want to skip ahead?
They have it.
Let's talk about Byron Jones.
There's only two cornerbacks that have been top 10 PFF's grades in the last 2 years in a row. It was Stephon Gilmore and Byron Jones. Like, he's the guy.
He's eighth on your list. I think he's become weirdly underrated at this point. For the reasons you just described, athletic freak, can play both man and zone. I think Cowboys are now more known as, you know, a cover three style defense. But when they've played man, he's been excellent. You know, he obviously has switched positions over the course of his time there and ultimately, I think, settled at where he should be, which is outside corner. But he can play in any scheme. I mean, who is he? He is clearly the number one corner in free agency.
Yep.
It's a decent corner draft. Just throwing, I mean, it's not really...
He will get paid.
He's going to get
Tremaine Johnson, the year he was a free agent, got more guaranteed money than any defensive player that year.
Where are DBs coming in at right now? Like 16, 17?
The early talk for Byron Jones was like starting at 15 a year. But my guess would
Xavier
be, I think the money is going to be way higher than everyone thinks for everyone. Because especially if there's a new CBA, the cap is going up. There's teams have too much cap space and they think it's going to explode money-wise in 2022.
So he's going to get Tony Romo money.
Yeah, at least.
The Eagles seem too obvious.
The Broncos would have seen... I don't think...
Oh, yeah, we should mention the Broncos just acquired AJ Bouye for a fourth-round pick from Jacksonville, which leads us to believe Chris Harris is gone.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. I thought he was probably gone anyways. I wouldn't think Bouye, I mean, Bouye is not kind of like an answer to all your problems, but that's a lot of money that they're paying him. I think $11 million this year.
In Denver, yeah. Right. He's, what, 30? Chris Harris is 30.
He's had a lot of injuries.
Byron Jones is like 25 or something probably, right?
Byron Jones. I mean, he went to UConn. What's not to like?
Well, what's not to like is he has like zero interceptions, right?
Yeah.
That's the, always been the negative there. Can you pay a corner who really doesn't get turnovers that much money? I do. I think I didn't write this down, but I've looked it up at one point. He has a lot of, his passes defensed is that how you say it?
Passes defensed.
Passes defensed. Defensed. He defenses a lot of passes.
I feel like, yeah, the emphasis on D there. You want
defense.
Defense, yeah.
His PBUs are, you know what I mean, though? Like, he doesn't get a lot of turnovers, but yeah. he gets in there. He gets in the mix. He's disruptive. So I don't think it's a huge problem.
I just feel like a lot of times these free agent cornerbacks are, there's been a lot of busts, and he feels safe. He feels like you're going to get a B, B plus, worst case scenario, and you're going to pay for it. And that's fine. Like, I don't know if it's like the fantasy football angle of it. Like, people are so concerned about whether you got him at a good value or a bad value. And
right.
It's like, so many teams are carrying more than $30 million over.
This is your thing. Okay, the last time you went on a rant about this last time we did an anti-cap space rant last time.
I just think that like getting good value is overrated because it's harder to find good players.
Especially for positions like cornerback, I think. Sorry, Eagles, but a team that's invested so much draft capital at that position and had so much failure, you gotta be looking at like a Byron Jones and saying, yes, please. Sure thing.
Yeah.
What? Yes, please.
I mean, the Giant, that entire division, the Giants, the Redskins, the Giants.
DeAndre Baker.
Like kind of know that they're, you know, Dave Gettleman sounded like a guy who knew he had just like escaped getting fired, and I think they're
does he sound like that to you?
A little bit, yeah. I think he felt like a little lucky that they're gonna spend like crazy. Washington has no one in their secondary. Quentin Dunbar wants to get traded. Like,
he was good.
There are very few teams that feel good about their secondary.
What's Dunbar's contract status?
He is in the final year of his rookie deal, I believe.
He was really weirdly good last year.
Yeah, and he wants money, and if the Redskins don't pay him, he wants to get traded.
They should pay him. All right. So we had skipped ahead, but because 3, 4, and 5 on the list I'm looking at of yours are all pass rushers. And I think you have to consider them all together in a way, because I think that's how the teams that are in the edge rusher market will be looking at them. So you have Clowney first.
Mm-hmm.
Then Yannick.
Ngakoue.
Oh, no. Did I skip it? You have Shaq Barrett fourth.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got Shaq Barrett fourth. And then Yannick. Shaq's...
What about your hot take that Ngakoue is underrated just because people can't... Like, his value's been depressed because people can't pronounce his name?
You know what? I was... it's 100% true, by the way. And I was thinking about another player who I thought is a little bit overrated because of that. Who was it? It's one of the traded guys. Oh, Darius Slay. But we can talk about that later. Totally overrated because
he's good in a headline.
Yeah. Darius Slay.
Yeah.
It's like an incredible cornerback name. Good player, but I'm just saying. Yeah. okay. So these pass rushers. So I think the way you have them ranked is not a consensus, I think, in the eyes of fans, teams they've played for, potential acquirers. We can start with Clowney. And first of all, so Clowney is not getting franchised. That was part of his agreement when he went to Seattle. True free agent. It's been reported that Seattle is trying to work on a long-term deal, but this could get pretty expensive. Seattle does have a lot of money, though. If I'm Seattle, I would do it.
Would you make him the highest paid defensive player in the league, more than Aaron Donald? Because it feels like that's probably
where this
is headed.
Shaq Barrett, has he been tagged or what's the tag situation?
He is expected to
be tagged, but they're going to try to do a long-term deal. Ton of money too, by the way. And then, Yannick, interesting, the most interesting case of all, was very upset last year because he didn't get a deal. They should have done a deal last year, in my opinion. And has been very vocal about wanting to get out of Jacksonville. Potential tag and trade.
Saying he won't, he's no longer trying to sign a long-term deal. And literally 3 minutes later, Adam Schefter reported that they're going to tag him. Like 3 minutes after the tweet.
So let's start with why you think Clowney is the best out of all of them. Because you know the case against that. It's the lack of sacks. And not just that, the injuries. I think he's inconsistent in health. I think versus... Yannick and Shaq, I think, have always been pretty healthy.
They have, but I feel like Barrett's had one injury, but he was always a backup in Denver for the most part. Well, he was playing 500.
And then he didn't play at all behind Chubb. Once they drafted Chubb, he didn't play at all.
Right.
What a great story he is.
Yes.
A guy who
and he's
totally
always been
bet
awesome.
On him. Always been good.
He was big in the Super Bowl. People kind of forget a rookie Shaq Barrett had a big impact.
Von
in that
Miller,
game.
I remember I did a story on him after that Super Bowl, so whenever that was, would not stop talking about how good he was to me. And so he comes to Tampa Bay, $4 million, one-year deal, totally bets on himself. Then, you know, most sacks in the NFL, led the league in quarterback hits as well, which suggests that it's beyond your point, which is that his record is actually good. It's not like he came out of nowhere. You know, the underlying metrics for Shaq Barrett suggests that this wasn't a flash in the pan. He's not going to have 20 sacks again, but he could consistently be like a 10-sack guy for a few. That's a no-brainer.
And it was – he – was good throughout the season.
Yep.
You know, there was a little bit of a dip, but him and Todd Bowles.
Finished strong.
I mean, I know you're a fan of.
Love Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles, Hive, the Bowles.
Love that defense.
He just fits there. And I have Clowney first though, because I think when you do these rankings, you get caught up too much in just ranking them, like who was best in 2019. And Clowney to me has been a very consistent player. And it's funny, he has the reputation as a guy who's always hurt. And almost no defensive lineman in the league has played more snaps than him over the last 4 years. I mean, he was playing the 3 years before this year, I think about 87 to 90% of the snaps every year. And he was finishing the season strong every year. Like that was kind of his trademark. And yeah, he's not finishing every play, but he's so disruptive. He's
the
splash plays and like kind of the body of work to me is a little more impressive than Ngakoue.
The nerd metrics all like Clowney, right? Like he gets double teamed more than anyone not named Aaron Donald year after year. I think he finished seventh in our pass block win rate metric. So again, it's right. It's like the whole sacks don't tell the whole story.
And Ngakoue is a guy who's always had a ton of hits and hurries too, but he's coming off his worst year too in terms of rushing the passer. Has a reputation that he was better, you know, stopping the run this year. I mean, he's great. I think to your point, there are probably a lot of NFL teams out there that prefer Ngakoue over the other two. That he might
you think
be.
So?
I do think so. I think there's a lot of teams that want the fast edge rusher on the edge that are going to line up the on the out, kind of towards the edge, and he is that guy.
Interesting.
And Clowney can fit in different schemes, but Ngakoue is a little more of a pure pass rusher.
Ngakoue has 37 and a half sacks through his first 4 years. That's more than Frank Clark, more than Chandler Jones, only behind Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and when you look at the total pressures every year, it's been incredibly
consistent. He's not great against the run. I mean, Clowney's unbelievable against the run. That's always been his thing. He's better than the other two guys. But, you know, Ngakoue's really disruptive, too, because he rushes so much off the blind side. He gets a lot of strip sacks and gets his hand on the football a lot.
If D. Ford was worth a second round pick in a big contract and Frank Clark was worth a first round pick in a big contract, then Ngakoue to me is right in that area where he's gonna get
100%
that he would be worth a first or a second.
Older, much older, and less productive.
More injured before
he was traded. I actually think this makes sense for Jacksonville at this point because I think they gotta burn it down and just start over. And it's like a whole thing, but they've got draft picks because of the Ramsey trade. They're actually getting pretty good. They get pretty good value. For all of my criticism of how that team is run and some of the decisions they made, they've gotten pretty good value, for guys. And I think if they can get good value for, Ngakoue in this draft, they have a lot to work with. They could move around and make some noise.
They could, you know, they have the Ramsey picks and there's a ton of edge rushers available this year. I would say it's easily the deepest position in free agency. Not to jump ahead, but you know, Bud Dupree, Matthew Judon, Dante Fowler, Arik Armstead, like it kind of goes on and on. Robert Quinn, even for like older, like 1 year guys, Robert Quinn, JPP, like there's a lot of options, but Ngakoue is one that you're going to give like a big
part of me. If I'm Seattle wants to just say, screw it. If it really is looking like Aaron Donald money, just go get Robert Quinn and Michael Bennett and draft someone. And
Or Everson Griffin, Pete Carroll's old
isn't he staying
player.
In Minnesota?
They think that they're going to re-sign him.
He's
but technically
awesome.
Right now he
so
can
underrated.
Take other offers. The Jaguars, to your point with Ngakoue, though, have to be worried about losing their job. I mean, Shad Khan is a patient man.
That's true.
He got rid of Tom Coughlin. Yeah. But David Caldwell, their GM, has been in there for seven years.
I actually think they're going to contend next year.
And last year, when they went 6-10, was the second best year in the Dave Caldwell regime. So they've had 6 seasons, 6-10 and worse.
It's a good example of a team where, yeah, you got to win. He's got to win, not the team. This is a good example.
Doug Marrone has to win, you would think, too.
Oh, who's to say? It's Gruden, right? I mean, week four, right? Let's be real here. Too mean? Was that too mean?
No.
Come on. They brought Gruden. I mean,
no. I was thinking about it. I'm excited about the Jay Gruden experience.
Take
the
over.
Eventual takeover.
Yeah.
Drama.
It's a good example. Jacksonville's a good example of a team where the best interest of the franchise is not aligned at all with what you're describing, which is a coach and GM in the hot seat, because they should not be trying to win now. They should be rebuilding. And they
look like they are. Barcel Darius, his contract was voided. They traded Boye. Caldwell would not say that Calais Campbell is coming back, which is crazy because he's playing at a high level and was Walter Payton Man of the Year. So they are kind of blowing it up. And they sound like they're going to go with Gardner Minshew.
So I think Barrett stays in Tampa.
Yeah.
I think Clowney, I don't think it's impossible that he stays in Seattle. They really like him. But given if Barrett comes off the board and I think a lot of it depends on the order in which all this happens, because there's a world in which he's the only guy. So you'd be looking at teams like the Giants, the Jets, the Dolphins and the Colts, the teams with a ton of cap space. I mentioned to you, and actually I was thinking about this more for Yannick than for Clowney, but the Bills have a ton of cap space and really need a pass rusher, and they're a good team. So I think that'd be a desirable destination for either of them.
I think the Bills have been building this up pretty slowly, Brandon Bean, and that they're ready to push forward. And I think you can almost hear the teams that are going to do that. Howie Roseman said it. He said they were in kind of a 2-year retrenchment process where they were trying to keep the team they had, and now they are ready to spend. They're looking to do what they did a few years ago. The Bills have been kind of slowly building up, and last year they had some pretty good free agents, with John Brown and Mitch Morse and Cole Beasley, and now they have all this money. Yeah, that was incredible. They think this is our year. We better take advantage of Josh Allen's rookie contract and push. So I could see them giving Jadeveon Clowney a Mario Williams type. He's the highest paid player in the league.
I can't wait for Josh Allen to make $35-40 million. Or by then it'll be $40 million. It's gonna be so good.
That would assume though he plays pretty well over the next at least year, maybe two.
No, it doesn't. He's still gonna get paid that much. Your number six is the one that I was actually really excited to talk about, because I want to bring in another player. So you've got Justin Simmons, Broncos safety, who is barely ever talked about, by the way, despite being largely because his emergence coincided with his team being bad. What's interesting to me is you don't have Anthony Harris there, or in the top 10, I believe. I don't know where he is on your list, but he wasn't in the top 10. And I think
he's 18th.
Okay. I think it's highly debatable who's a more attractive. It depends on a lot of things. Now, the case for Simmons is that he's younger. Not that much younger. A couple years.
Harris is not on his was not coming off his rookie contract.
So Justin Simmons was awesome last year.
Yes.
He was I don't want to say Earl Thomas awesome, because that's not he's not a Hall of Famer, but he plays similarly in some ways. I mean, he flies around the field.
He's so athletic.
He does it all too. He's a great tackler. I think covering is probably his greatest attribute just because of the speed, but he is physical. He's got great, he's a ball hawk. He is he should be the best highest paid safety in the NFL, I think. That said, he was good one season. That's my concern. Whereas Anthony
Harris.
And
it was with Vic Fangio.
And it was with Vic Fangio. Whereas Anthony Harris has been good for a while now.
He's been getting better, but I don't know if you know, before 2018, you thought Harris was like a big difference maker. And then look, he was probably the best player in an incredibly highly paid secondary with a ton of first and second and third round picks. And Harris was their best player and made the biggest plays at the end of the year. But Simmons is one of those, I think, and Chris Wesseling, who I do the list with, had him even higher than me. I think it's just one of those, like, you watch him and you just say, like, I have to put him incredibly high. He was second team all pro.
Not talked about much.
And they're going to keep him. They're going to tag him. He is going to be certainly tagged, and they won't tag and trade him. But I do think there will be some tag and trades.
Yeah. I got to think. Both these guys will make 15-ish, probably, right?
And Harris should be a free agent because Minnesota, of all the teams...
They have, like, negative cap space.
They have, you know, cap
issues. It's upsetting to look at their cap.
And, like, so they'll probably cut Xavier Rhodes. They haven't done that yet. A lot of teams, I think, are waiting for this CBA just to see. I don't know why. Linval Joseph, they might cut. They don't have anyone in their secondary either. Mackenzie Alexander is a free agent. Trey Waynes is a free agent. They have like one guy in their secondary. And that's like where Zimmer, like that's all Zimmer cares about is his secondary. He spends all his picks and all his money on his secondary. And now he has to start all over.
That's a strong regression candidate. We'll do the division previews. But when I think about that defense, I have some concerns. Anthony Harris had 6 picks last year. It's crazy.
And probably more if you count the playoffs because he had
right yeah this is a sorry mega long pod. Some people like the mega long pod, some people don't. It's divisive. Let's zoom through. We've got two more of these free agents. I actually think number 9 is really tricky.
I mean, people need to calm down complaining that if a podcast of yours is too long. First of all, this one's only once a week. What are you trying to take?
Yeah, you can divvy
food off of Lenny's table. Second, you can stop listening.
He doesn't eat at the table.
It's like,
contrary to many people's beliefs. Eric Armstead is a really, I think that's a tough one because not similarly to Justin Simmons, but we're talking about a guy who's been good 1 year, basically. And it happens to be a year in which he was surrounded by the deadliest defensive line in the NFL. He was
the Armstead disrespect.
Not productive before. Last
he was better.
Season.
He was, be-
he was better
pretty
than
good
he looked
in 2018.
Better I than think. He looked totally, but you know, he can set the edge.
Little bit of
he's not going to get you pass rush production consistently. He's not going to. I'm not going to be predictive, but before last year, again, good run defender. You know, but.
Little bit of a Trey Flowers guy, I think, where coaches love him, can fit whether you put 2, 3, or 4, or 5 people on your line in a given play, like he can be an asset. They're weirdly putting it out there that they're kind of confident they can bring him back. That really surprises me. Like, he was a better player than Dee Ford. He was certainly more valuable than Dee Ford. I don't buy that they will get him back. I think that's just...
They're going to need that cap space for Tom Brady.
Exactly.
I mean, have you ever seen him in person?
Arik Armstead or Tom Brady?
First of all, it's Arik. Sorry, I was saying Eric. It's Arik. Arik Armstead. It's shocking. I think... Most football players, when you're around them, you're like, oh my God, you're a different species of human being. I'm so sorry for ever criticizing you ever. But Arik Armstead, it takes it to another level. He's one of the, he looks like an alien.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most impressive in-person possibility is an incredibly athletic defensive lineman.
Right.
Although, some tight ends are maybe in that category. I always used to say, like, Kyle Brady. Do you remember him? You know, the Jaguars pick, and then on the page, he was like the most impressive person I ever saw. But I think the defensive lineman, I mean, I'm like the size of, you know, like a 12-year-old girl. So it's like,
not even a boy.
Or a boy. I guess they're the same size. They're bigger, but so they all seem huge to me, but yes.
He is enormous. But it is crazy. I have a window with the Caps, the teams, how quickly the Niners lost all of their cap space. Really happened. I feel like only last year I was like, they can have everyone. And now they're like fourth from the bottom.
You seem to have a glee in your voice you say this.
Not at all.
As if they could be in trouble.
I'm with you. I think it's possible that they do move on from him. I'd be very curious. I think it's definitely like all it takes is one team kind of situation, but I think you were right to put him below, you know, the other three guys.
Pretty high, though. Pretty high.
10 is Brandon Scherff. We don't have to spend a lot of time here. The Skins are going to give him a deal, even though, you know, he's been hurt. But his injuries are, you know, it's like pec, ankle. It's not like back where you're like, you know, he's one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, right? I mean,
it's impossible to find offensive linemen in free agency, unless it's like the really cheap guys. I feel like guys like DJ Fluker for your Seahawks last year. There are sometimes decent values where you get a starter-ish, you're making a face.
He's okay.
You're getting a starter level player for next to nothing, whereas a lot of guys, you know, like Andrew Norwell is making, you know, $14, $15 million a year for the Jaguars and not doing anything either.
I saw Trey Turner is being shopped. By the way,
that was like the hot, you know, thing people were saying in the bars at Indianapolis, that every single Panthers player is available, including Christian McCaffrey. They just want to like blow it all up. The only people that they would say wouldn't be available are like DJ Moore and Brian Burns because they're just so young.
We're gonna take some questions. Got them like the hour mark. I feel like, but before we take some questions. First, I want to tell you guys about Upstart. Between hitting the gym, eating cleaner, or learning a new skill, there are a lot of ways we can better ourselves in 2020. One of the most important, though, is tackling high-interest credit card debt, and Upstart.com is here to help. Upstart is the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you are more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/Mina to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/Mina.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
I'm almost caught up on questions. There was a huge backlog in my iTunes reviews, by the way. Thank you so much. They're wonderful. I love reading them. My mom reads them all. Please keep them PG and friendly. But I caught up, and so I need more questions. But we've got some good ones today. Anno123423, I might have gotten that order of numbers. This is actually funny, given what we're talking about today. Wants to know if the Rams could trade Jared Goff for Tom Brady.
I don't think anyone would be interested. I don't think either side would be interested in that deal.
It's a rough one.
There is some, you know, talk that Robert Woods might be, that they really want to free up some space and there's no one good on their team that other teams would take.
How much do you think they could get for Robert Woods, who I think's great?
I don't know. Like a third round pick or something, but they would free up the cap space.
I feel like he's on a pretty nice contract, too.
Like, he would be very tradable, maybe a second round pick, but that Cooks and Gurley are kind of not tradable, and I think they want to be very active and take big swings.
Cooks will be better next year. I'm not worried about that contract. Haruda wants to know, if NFL did their awards like MVP by conference, like baseball, who would have gotten them this year? So if there was like a AFC MVP, NFC MVP. Well, so it would have been Mahomes in the AFC.
Would have been Russ.
Russell Wilson, yeah. Who would have been the defensive player of the year in the... It was Stephon Gilmore, right?
Yeah, in the AFC.
These awards, we spent so much time talking about them, and then, like, literally 2 months later,
they do NFL honors the day before the Super Bowl, and...
They should do it a different time.
Right. They get, you know, they'll get like Alec Baldwin or Steve Harvey to host and maybe have a couple people show up. And so that's, you know, you couldn't do that on a different night, but I don't think it's worth it. It totally gets buried. I mentioned we always talk about the awards like two shows after the Super Bowl because it's, you know, there's nothing to talk about.
They should do it instead of the Pro Bowl and really blow it out. People would watch.
So who would be the NFC award? Because I had TJ Watt as my number
right.
two. I'm already forgetting these awards. Shaq Barrett was somewhere in there.
Yeah, I guess he would be a strong candidate for NFC Defensive Player of the Year. And then Offensive Player of the Year, was it Michael Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Would be the NFC.
Which is a silly award.
It's the dumbest award. It's so bad. So I can't.
AFC would be, you know, Mahomes.
I said Patrick Mahomes was the NFL MVP, and it was obviously Lamar Jackson. Which is, by the way, illustrates how crazy the timing of all of this is, because you just can't remember anything but the Super Bowl.
I do think it would be cool if, I would like a vote.
I'd like a vote, too.
You know, they don't let NFL employees vote for these,
give me a vote.
Things, I don't think. But I wouldn't have had one anyways. But I think they should do what NBA does and rank, I think in the NBA they rank 10? Do they rank 10?
Like a ranked
That's
choice
exciting.
System.
That's why, cause the MVP conversation in the NFL is always stupid and it's too early. Like, you know, people are talking about it too early in the season and they're acting like there's a ton of candidates, but there's only one vote, so there's never really that many candidates. But yeah, if you could vote for 5 or 10,
we should do a ranked choice, like the way they should do elections.
You too. That's a little,
it's a
hot
political
take.
Commentary on Super Tuesday. For
I y'all. Mean, that's a little caucus like. You are wearing the sticker that you voted.
I did vote. Jordan wants to know: would you rather have the ball at the 20-yard line with one down to score a touchdown if you're a team? Or the ball at your own one with normal scoring and touchdowns.
And does the other team know that you only have one down?
Oh, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
But I would take the 20.
This can be quantified.
Right. Because, I mean, most of the time you're starting at the
your
one. The
probably,
vast
yeah.
majority, you're not even crossing midfield.
What about 50? With a normal set of downs. And
then I think I would take it at the 50.
You can definitely quantify this. I'm not doing that, but
I think it'd be at the 20.
Vandy Boy, this is a complicated question. So he has heard me say often on this podcast that high performing defenses tend to regress year to year. Is that also true of individual players on defense? So you probably read Pro Football Focus did those the pass rush versus coverage study last mm-hmm. year, and I believe they found that I might be wrong. Individual pass rushers tend to be good from year to year to year, but defenses coverage was more consistent. Is that right? Am I getting that wrong?
It checks out with like what you would logically think.
Yeah,
pass rushers that create hurries are way more consistent than, you know, cornerbacks having like a awesome
it's more
year, but
individual
as a,
too.
But as a team,
right?
Like I do think that's, I don't think it's been underrated, but so many of the teams like the Titans, like the Patriots, like the Rams, like the Saints, even on some level have built from the back forward, like the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they've spent their money that way and think that's efficient.
Do you think that's going to at all influence free agency and the draft?
Sure. How could it not? I mean, basically, because you need five guys who can cover on the field. Like, you have to be ready to have that many guys, or six guys on the field that can cover anytime. I mean, it's killed off-ball linebackers. Like, I think Corey Littleton's one of the most underrated free agents because he's like one of the only
great
linebackers that you can leave
cover
on the field all three downs.
Trying to put my legs up again. I physically can't sit like a normal human being for more than 30 minutes.
I've seen that.
When I'm at home typing, I have my legs up all the way. Kind of like a toad, like a little, like a frog.
I like put strange things like in my ear, like instead of a pencil, you know, like, you know, pieces of furniture, little things like that.
Piece of furniture in your ear?
Well, just like small little, you know, like
things. It's funny. You mentioned that most teams insist on having extra DBs. Have you seen the Seattle Seahawks play lately?
Yeah.
It's not really their move. Although Pete Carroll did come out and say that they understand that they need a nickel corner this year. So that's great. I'm happy about that.
Do you like replay the scenarios of what would have happened if if they beat the 49ers?
Not
if
really.
They don't make that tackle.
No, get shredded by Pat Mahomes. I think they would have put up a better fight than
So you think they would have made the Super Bowl?
I still think San Francisco probably would have, but I think it would have been a much better game, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some of the trade candidates. Let's start with Chris Jones. 25 years old, had 9 sacks last year, 20 quarterback hits, was dominant in the postseason, missed a fair... How many games did he miss last year?
I forgot to ask you for the internet password, so, I'm not... Just to pull the curtain back. I don't know if he's a trade candidate, though, for sure. Not to squash this. Don't roll... I just don't know if they would be willing to give him up, but maybe for the crazy... For a crazy amount.
Let me throw this out. I think it's possible they might just tag him and have him for one more year.
Right.
I don't think they're going to give him a long-term contract. If I'm the Chiefs, and obviously this is my window, I'd rather... So if you tag him this year, assuming he shows up and plays and doesn't hold out and whatnot, I mean, he would make, what, like 19 million, something pretty substantial?
Yeah, and they did. They tagged him.
Oh, okay. They already tagged him. So assuming, has he agitated at all about how he might hold out? I know there was some agitation.
I think it's unclear.
So then he walks next year, you get a third. If you tag and trade him, what are you going to get? You think you get a first?
I think you should. I mean, to
you
me.
You should, but will you?
I don't think they'll seriously consider him. They might even just say he's not available because he's that good.
So you
good.
Think they'll just rather have him for that?
I do. I just think he's...
I think more teams
so good though.
Should do that, by the way, and not always worry about the future. If you're in your window, have the guy for a year and then get the comp. I generally think more teams should do
that. There's a lot of guys this year I think make sense for like 1 year. You can even make the case, like, if ever there's a time to pay a running back, it's Derrick Henry for 1 year. And that's
sure.
It. If you're the Titans. And Chris Jones, there's so many times you watch them less, in the playoffs somewhat, but during the regular season, where he's the best player on the field. And him next to Frank Clark, once Clark kind of, like, they weren't kind of peaking at the same time too often this season, but that's a pretty great.
Would you rather have Chris? So they made their choice. It's Frank Clark. You can't have two guys on your defensive line making bazillions. You just shook your, you kind of did a little eyebrow wiggle. You think you can?
With the new cat, I think.
Is that where you want to put your money?
Chris Jones is where I'd want to put my money. Yeah. And I do think, and maybe this is just people getting overexcited in the league, but I do think there's a thought, not to keep hammering this with the new CBA, that like the cap could go up like $30 million next year. And that would kind of change those questions. You got to pay Mahomes though too.
If the CBA gets done, I would go ham if I was a team. Cause you got to think the cap's going to go crazy.
It's a good point. It makes me want to, should I steal this and write about this? That it's almost like what happened. There's these cycles in the NFL and basically, yeah, like that they'll go back to the, being irresponsible. Cause I think they went too far the other way that every team's responsible. Yeah. And now they'll go back to like the Redskins and Cowboys of the early 2000s and just start spending insane money.
Would you rather have Chris Jones or Frank Clark?
Chris Jones.
Me
for
too.
Sure.
Yeah. 1,000%.
I don't think it's that close. He would be in my top, I guess, non quarterbacks. He would be in my top, 25 players in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, he's after Donald. That's it, right? I mean, amongst defensive tackles. All right. Well, if they do tag and trade, I mean, it's just any of these. I feel like it's going to be the same 4 or 5 teams that have cap space and need, pressure, defensive line help. there's just, you know, we've already named them. The New York teams, Indy, I mentioned some of the weird ones are like your Buffaloes, Tampa Bays. Am I leaving out any obvious possible contenders? Oakland, maybe?
I'm trying to.
Oakland might be a...
I'm just trying to think who's going to, like, be... Like, I don't know what the... I have no idea what the Chargers are going to do this offseason. They're desperate for interior line help.
That's true.
That would be an expensive... But they have no one on their interior line.
Oh, no, they... Who do they draft? The Notre Dame kid.
Yeah, I'm blanking. Tillery,
yeah. By the way, why is your computer open if you don't have internet? What are you looking at?
I mean, if we really want to go, I'm not looking at anything right now. I was looking at my personal rankings because it was like a longer list and you could see it all, you know, on one page on like a Google sheet.
Second trade candidate I want to talk about, Andy Dalton to Chicago. Andy Dalton, period. Let's talk about Andy Dalton. First, so the reason, you know, I'm trying not to talk about quarterbacks too much, but when I did talk about the quarterbacks with Field Yates a couple weeks ago, we talked at length about Marcus Mariota to Chicago. If you're Chicago, would you rather trade for Dalton than sign Mariota?
Absolutely.
Why are you so in love with Andy Dalton?
Why? Well, I'm not. But what is Marcus Mariota? I've heard Mariota that he would be an option for the Patriots if they moved on from Tom Brady, which sounds terrible. I think Andy Dalton is a league average starting quarterback, which has been shown again and again is incredibly valuable. Like if you don't have one, and the Bears don't have one, so Marcus Mariota, I don't have that same sort of confidence. I think Andy Dalton with like some weapons around him and Matt Nagy.
You don't think Marcus Mariota potentially has more upside?
I haven't seen it.
You saw it in 2015.
Even then, it was.
By the way, the year that Andy Dalton was awesome, right? That was the Dalton MVP year when everything was perfect around him.
The ceiling around
Dalton has a high ceiling. He was awesome that year.
He's had moments. He even had a couple moments. Bengals fans will probably disagree. I swear there were a couple of moments last year where I was like, Andy Dalton's throwing it pretty.
They almost beat freaking Seattle.
Yeah. I just think you kind of know what you're getting with Dalton, and here's the reason why. He's not going to cost anything to trade. It's going to be a salary dump essentially where maybe the Bengals even pay of his salary.
17-ish?
Yeah, he's in that neighborhood.
How much did the Bengals screw this up by not trading him last year? What is wrong with that team?
Well, they are run like it's, you know, like they're run by Paul Brown, except it's not Paul Brown.
Did you ever like run?
It's Paul Brown's son. So they're run by one, you know, they're run in a totally different way than other teams. And they are, if nothing else, are more loyal and stick with their guys than any other team. They have by far the most homegrown players.
It's like when you were a kid and you ran like a fake business, you know?
Most kids don't do that, do they?
Yeah. Like an eraser business or whatever, and you set up a little store and you keep books and, you never did that kind of thing? How about Joe Burrow, by the way? Big Joe Burrow coming into town and saying, keep AJ Green. Already bossing them around. I love it.
I love it. He has sort of a natural confidence that sports writers like us, I guess, will eat up. I mean, it just seems easy. If I was a Bengals fan, I would be excited about it. But if I was a Bears fan, I would be excited to have an option other than Mitchell Trubisky, because Dalton threads that needle of like he's not too good that he's threatening Trubisky. They'll let Trubisky start in week one, but that he's good enough.
We talked about this at length. Okay. Yeah, you have to psychologically manage.
And if you're Dalton, all the teams that are supposedly interested or he could go to are all way better than the Bengals, the Colts and the Patriots.
They need a control though, because they need someone to come in and play better than Trubisky to finally enable them to rip the band-aid. I know you think Dalton can do that, I guess. I mean, obviously you and I would both prefer them to aim higher at this point and just rip the freaking band-aid.
Yes.
But they're not going to do that. We're all like operating under this assumption. I mean, Ryan Pace has come out and said they won't do that. They need someone to come in and outplay him.
I also just try to think of like, look, these guys have played a lot, and if 2 years ago we had thought that Andy Dalton was a better option than Ryan Tannehill, no one would have argued.
Did you watch
Is he really that much worse of an option?
I know. Did you watch Love is Blind?
I haven't.
there's a character named Damien who has like red hair. And for those who are listening, I call him Andy Smalton. He's like a short Andy Dalton. Stefon Diggs. So this is entirely based on him unfollowing the Vikings on social media.
Yeah.
But that's not true. No, he's been agitating for a while. He's been surly since the beginning of the season, right? When he was missing practices and team meetings and stuff. And
even going back a few years, Zimmer and him have had these strange little comments in the press.
I've heard he's a lot.
A lot of receivers are like that. Our mutual friend Colleen Wolf tells a story where she, you know, is hosting their TNF show, and it's kind of a fun thing after where you talk to the winners and they give like a silly gift, and I think they gave some like old tapes, you know, to the two of them, to Cousins and Diggs, and like, just like the vibe coming to the set and leaving the set and being on the set, it was just like, it was like strange. You know, it was like this weird vibe that
she could tell they didn't like each other.
I mean, that's I think what it was getting at, which is that was just like
Mark and Jessica.
They should be super happy and excited. And they're not.
In Diggs' defense, I would be angry too if I was an awesome wide receiver and played for Mike Zimmer.
Ooh. I thought you were gonna take a shot at Cousins, so I'm glad you
You know, this is a Cousins, a safe space.
I also think he's incredibly valuable. Like when
he's so valuable. Like, have you looked at his contract?
Right. When you make these lists, you have to think, well, who would actually want these guys? Like, cause no one's going to trade him just to trade him. And in Diggs' case.
No, it's why would the Vikings do this? That's the case with Diggs. It does not make sense for them to trade him unless he's agitating. They can get serious value.
Right. If you got a first round pick, would they just say, okay.
Maybe. I mean, you know,
I would think that he would absolutely be worth a first round pick.
Draft another cornerback.
Right.
What about the Pats?
Well, everyone likes to connect like every good receiver to the Pats.
But he's
Diggs would be perfect.
No, yes. Okay. I know that, but there's another receiver we're going to talk about who I don't like for the Pats at all, but I really like Diggs for that.
The funny thing is like the Pats, yes, they didn't have a lot of weapons in theory, you know, last year. On the other hand, they're coming back this year and they have Edelman, Sanu, and their first round pick a year ago. So it's like they're only going to add maybe one name, which is not usually what they do. They usually add like two or three guys that are like the third receiver of some team, and one of them works.
Counter.
Diggs would be great though. It'd be fun.
Do you think the Pats are better off drafting a receiver or bringing in a veteran to play? Just given Tom Brady's needs.
Veteran.
Yeah.
And given their history drafting wide receivers.
Yep. Yeah.
That offense is all like, can you get on the same page with Tom Brady?
Rick Spielman, the Vikings GM, has said, we're not training him, yada, yada. But I'm old enough to remember when he said that about Percy Harvin.
You know. Our NFL Network insider, Ian Rapoport, essentially said the same thing right afterwards. Like, he's like, this means nothing. He can and still very well might be true.
Let's talk about the other receiver that I was alluding to. Alshon Jeffrey, who makes no sense for New England. So this isn't just, you know, him unfollowing. Like, it's been reported that the Eagles are trying to shop him, which makes sense for, well, in some ways it makes no sense because we just watched this Eagles team, lean on, you know, like the guy who sells popcorn in the stands, which is a wide receiver. But on the other hand, it's been in the air for a while in Philadelphia that he wanted out, that, you know, he's struggled with health there. Him and Carson Wentz haven't been on the same page.
There was a report just this week that there was like kind of a verbal confrontation.
Yes, everybody always thinks that the leaks are Alshon Jeffrey.
After your ESPN colleague Josina reported, and that was some fun source outing. I love stories like that, I have to admit.
I don't know how much they could give for him.
Oh, I would think it would just be a dump. He's guaranteed $11.5 million this year based on a restructure that the Eagles did last year to free up some cap space so they can sign Malik Jackson and other stuff they do. I think it would just be like Howie Roseman, I feel like, has been quiet the last couple of years and he wants to do
something
fun stuff. And if a team like the Jets, who The Athletic wrote about, might be interested.
If the Jets
just send them like a sixth round pick. They'd just be like, hey, the Jets will pay him. That frees up the money. We don't really want him. He's coming off surgery.
They need a big bodied guy. That makes sense. Are they going to keep Robbie Anderson?
he's a free agent, and he's like the only deep speed guy I can think of. Rashad Perriman is a free agent, but that's pretty far down the list. Robbie Anderson feels like about as boom or bust a free agent as you get, but he could work
in a lot of ways. The Jets, not the Pats, I don't think. The Bills.
I would stay away from Alshon Jeffrey because the injuries that he had, unlike who'd you mention, Scherf, his injuries, like Alshon Jeffrey played, like
they're weird.
They could not talk more about the toughness that he played with to have that great Super Bowl run, and then since then it's been, you know, worse. And this is a Liz Frank surgery, which freaks you out.
I could see him doing like a 1 year with the Colts.
Yeah. Take that Devin Funchess IR role.
Like the except better. And like the Pats, the Packers will get thrown around, right, as a potential. They should draft someone though. All right.
Packers seem like they will be in on someone. Emmanuel Sanders is another free agent. That's not a trade, but
Emmanuel Sanders is good.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he on your list?
He's in the top 30.
He would have been a great Patriot.
There are pretty strong
feelings about this.
Indications that they really want him, and that they're going to go after him pretty hard, and that it might come down to the 49ers and the Patriots.
I was going to talk about Nick Foles, but we're going pretty long, and I talked about him a bit. I do think he's become underrated because he's become so like hated.
A year ago at this time, he was near the top of this list, right alongside Le'Veon Bell.
Go back,
so that
and
shows you how bad the list is.
You can listen to every podcast I did at the time saying, this is an insane contract. I can't believe this is happening. Who are they negotiating against? Rare W. Well, it's not. I feel bad. He seems like a delightful human being, but I just did not.
He would upgrade a ton. He has a history. His highs are incredible.
How about Chicago? Bring him into Chicago.
Right. He doesn't fit on a lot of teams. Tampa could be an interesting team. That he would be a salary. He would be another
Brock
one where it's
Osweiler
like
Osweiler style.
But it's not like rocket science. Buy low.
He's 6'6", too tall. Justin Herbert also 6'6".
You could get the Jaguars to pay part of his salary. You don't have to give him a signing bonus, and you probably are like trading a move down from the 6th to the 7th round just because Jacksonville wants to get rid of him. That's the year to do it.
Fits in with my plan for the Jags. I would love that for Chicago, actually, now that I think about it. It makes a lot of sense. He's only 16-ish on the books.
That's
same as Andy, cheaper than Andy.
The Chargers are the team no one, I think, has any feel on. That I really think it looks like they kind of want to draft someone with Tyler.
I think they want to draft someone. Last player I want to talk about is Darius Slay, who I mentioned a little earlier. So Detroit, just crushing it. okay, so it's last reported that they've talked to teams. This is happening. This is in the air.
Whenever the guys like in trade talks at the trade deadline, they always get traded the next offseason.
I feel like Quandre Diggs is going to break the news or something. He's been very vocal ever since.
Has he been breaking stories?
No, but I just kind of feel like he's been sassy on the internet. It feels like he might have. Oh, there goes my other shoe.
Like James Jones broke the Aaron Rodgers news.
Yes, he's good. He's very. I mean, he's how old is he? 28. He's not even that. He feels a lot older than 28 to me. I would not want him more than some of the other cornerbacks personally in who might be available in free agency or a trade.
Right. Chris Harris I would rather have. I would rather pay whatever Kendall Fuller is going to make, which is not like a ton. He's more of a slot guy. But
Bradbury's available, by the way, right?
Bradbury is going to be available. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather go like mid-tier, even Trey Waynes. Darius Slay, just because he's going to cost a pick. To me, the level of quality you need to be to give up a pick and a huge contract.
That's how I feel about him. I just don't. If he was a free agent, it would be different.
I feel like and this sounds too dismissive of Darius Slay, but there's some guys on some bad teams over the years that it's like the color announcer comes to town and he needs to say something positive about the team, and he doesn't follow the team that well, so he just like says Darius Slay's amazing just
he's
because.
He's the only player in the Lions people know. And his name is Darius Slay, to bring it full circle to my original theory. I mean,
On defense, yeah. It helps.
On defense.
Shout out to Trey Flowers, though.
I was just thinking
best
about...
Best defensive player on the field in multiple Super Bowls.
If he were to get... Trey Flowers was actually not that bad last year.
No, he was
too.
Good.
He was good.
He's
yeah,
good.
Everybody's
I swear,
kinda...
he is the type of guy that if you, he's on your team, and I know this is sounding like a homer, like you do appreciate watching him every week. He's kind of like a poor man's Jadeveon Clowney in that, like,
totally.
It's not going to totally show up in every stat line, but he's helping you.
I was thinking about, like, what if a team like the Dolphins, although it doesn't make sense for the Dolphins because Xavien Howard, I don't think they would want. Like, when they decide how they want to deploy their massive arsenal of, you know, cap space and assets, I don't really see them going corner. Can you name another cornerback other than Xavien Howard on the Dolphins? You don't have the internet. This is an incredible challenge. I could not.
I mean, no. Not on the spot.
Nick Needham.
Yeah, Nick Needham. He was great in December.
He was the only other
people
good
love Nick
player.
Needham.
I mean...
Bryce McCain.
Slay can play in any scheme.
There's one.
Bryce McCain. Yeah, I mean, I guess they played a lot of man last couple of years. He can play. He's...
The Dolphins are interesting because Flores was amazing, not to get
I guess that
so
would
off
be,
topic.
Yeah.
But his entire... He's, like, fired or his coaching staff's all left.
Right. Yeah, it's weird.
It's a little... Like, on both sides. Like, even a lot of position coaches. Some have left for other jobs, so that's not his... fault, like in college, like Carl Durrell, but it's a lot.
The other one you mentioned, potential trade interest would be Trent Williams, who I feel like everyone's just been bookmarking to the Browns now for 2 years. They are so cognizant of that being an area that they need to fix and address, even though, well, I guess Greg Robinson is not... Going to play football?
No, I don't think so. You had that, you know, the good tweet, the great tweet on Greg Robinson. Are you ever tempted to just like retire from Twitter off of one of those tweets or no? It's too much.
I don't remember. What tweet was that?
It was good.
Oh, the holding thing. Yeah. And some,
it's great podcasting here. I would look it up word for word, but
they were like, "How long have you had that one in the roster?" I'd be like, "Yeah, how would I have that?" People always do that whenever you do a joke on Twitter. How long have you been planning on that? And I'm like, "This is clearly topical in the moment."
Trent Williams, I noticed a big change of Ron Rivera and the way the Washington Post was reporting this whole thing. A couple weeks before the combine, it was like, you know, he's back in the fold. He's happy with them. Yada yada, and it sounds like he is willing to play for them. But then at the combine, Ron Rivera was like, "We'll see." Like it's got levels, and then the report comes out that he wants to be the highest paid tackle in the league. Like, yeah, well, I'll play for the Redskins, but I want to be the highest paid tackle in the league, and he should because I don't. Even the injuries are crazy. It's like he's borderline
31.
He's a borderline Hall of Famer.
3 years younger than Dwayne Brown.
Some team will pay him that money, and I think they would have to respect that he would actually sit out because he's done it.
Washington's a really interesting team. To watch this offseason, what they do. But yeah, I agree. It's not about bad blood anymore. It's just that he wants to get paid.
Yeah, they had Kyle Smith, who is kind of their general manager. I just wanted to, I wanted to just see what Kyle Smith looked like. You know what I mean? No one knows who Kyle Smith was. It was just like, hey, who's that? That's Kyle Smith. He's kind of the Duke Tobin of the Bengals.
Do you know who the Chargers offensive coordinator is?
Yeah, Nick, I can't say his name, but yeah, Siraki? What is it? How do you say it?
There's just like four or five executives and coaches that nobody knows. And that's like, okay.
Well, he was a mid-season, replacement.
Yeah. No, I just like to occasionally throw in, not that I know, it's
Serrani.
Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen. You're thinking of the, what's his name? He's on a different team. Sirianni.
I'm embarrassed, but this is what happens when you don't have the internet.
All right, let's do some final questions.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
All right, as always, 5 questions, 4 from me, 1 from Lenny, who is definitely here. Question number 1. We tried to take a break from the quarterback talk today. Some of it snuck in there. But right now, where do you think Teddy Bridgewater's going to play? Our beloved Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, we do share an affection for Teddy.
Who doesn't?
Tampa, because that's what I want to see. And it makes some sense. It makes some sense. It makes sense because it's why Bruce Arians feels so...
Todd Bowles take the wheel.
Right, emboldened to just talk, like, crazy trash on Jameis Winston. It's like he knows. And then there's these reports that Teddy kind of knows that he's going to get a good contract, and it all sort of matches up.
So, Jameis, if you'd asked me like 3 months ago, I would have said no question he's going to be, not because he's great, but it just seemed inevitable to me that he would stay there. But increasingly, there's been the trickle. I think the way the season ended left a really sour taste in people's mouths there.
It totally did. It was like an emotional thing, those interceptions the last 2 weeks, which is a little crazy because he was playing through a torn meniscus, a broken thumb, and everyone on the team, on the offense, was hurt around him. But it doesn't matter. That's what you've seen out of Jameis Winston.
It made them kind of a joke, and I think...
I mean, literally, again, that the season ended on a pick six, I think, like, was what did it. If they won that game, he'd probably be a
100%. And like I've said, this is a rising defense.
Bucks fans should be happy. It reminds me a little bit of the reverse Blake Bortles, Doug Marrone situation, where they went two more years with that combo because they had two good weeks with Marrone as an interim.
Also, you know, we were talking about Derek Carr earlier and how Raiders fans are like tired of his conservatism. Fair. I feel like the opposite is true with the Bucks. They would love Teddy. Bucks fans would welcome Teddy.
Teddy, Todd Bowles, Bruce Arians, Chris Godwin,
Todd Bowles would love it.
Shaq Barrett. This could be America's team. This is a lot of lovable guys.
That is a really lovable organization that you just described. If Teddy goes to the Bucks, I'm a Bucks for my second team. Question two. You're a Patriots fan. We've been talking a lot about Brady, what they will do, what they won't do, this trade, yada, yada, yada. What would you do if you were the GM of the New England Patriots? And you could do whatever you could want. You could blow it up. You could go up for Tua. By the way, Justin Herbert's being linked to them, which is woofy. You can do whatever you want.
I wish I knew more about like the college players. I also wish I knew a little bit more about how they feel about Jarrett Stidham, because I think that's a factor here. You're making a face. Every person there said he had better like off season than any rookie they've ever drafted.
Wait, you mean to tell me a team said that the rookie quarterback they drafted?
No. Everyone that was there, like the reporters, the reporters in like the chat.
Unnecessary rude
sarcasm. I'm saying no, because Jimmy G did not have a good rookie sort of run.
I remember that.
Who they have? People always forget Kevin O'Connell, Ryan Mallett, Jacoby Brissett. They've been trying to draft people to maybe replace Brady for like 11 years. I just think it could be a factor. I would like a Teddy and Stidham combo. I don't want to see Tom Brady play badly in a Patriots uniform. In a perfect world, he just would retire. For me, I'm not trying to, say, he should do whatever he wants, but my selfish thing, I don't want him to play poorly in any uniform, but if it's going to be bad, I'd rather it be in a different uniform, and that it just gets really weird and it's like Teddy and Jarrett Stidham going 11-5 and losing in the wild card round. That would be a lot of fun. If they could pull that off.
By the way, I totally forgot that Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell was in New England.
Not only that, he was a third round pick. Yeah. That was the first time, and it was when he tore his ACL. It was around then when people were like, oh, I can't believe they're wasting a third round pick. And you know what? Those people were right.
He's huge.
Third round pick.
Question number three. You read a lot of books. Give a recommendation to our very cultured listeners.
I'm going to go further back. I'm going to go Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney, just because I feel like that's a crowd pleaser.
I've heard that's good.
Both of her books, Normal People, which also came out recently. Yeah. That's one where
they made a show out of that. They're making a show out of it, yeah.
Oh, they are. They're going to.
Yeah, there's a show coming out.
Yeah. I'm a big Ferrante guy, My Brilliant Friend, which they also made a show out of, but the books
HBO.
I haven't watched it either, but those books are like among the best books ever.
Question four, and this is on ESPN right now. It says Ron Rivera says Redskins are open to exploring their options with the second pick, which means nothing. If you were Washington, would you consider taking Tua there?
Yes. Because you can't plan to be up there that much, and if he's that much of a transformational talent.
How much better does he have to be than Haskins?
Not even that much.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you can find something to do with Haskins. Like, I feel like until you know you have a quarterback, you should just keep taking them.
What do you think you could get for
Haskins? People get too worked up about it. You can't take another quarterback. I think you could probably get a second round pick.
No, I don't think so.
I thought Haskins looked...
I agree. I thought he looked good at the end of the year. Totally. But I just think the way...
I mean, the Redskins are a great example when they drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round with RG3 as the number two overall pick that, like, yes, get multiple quarterbacks. And it seems a little crazy because you just use your first round pick on Haskins. But this is the number two pick and a guy that, like, we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
And I'm glad for Tua. I want to see Tua somewhere else.
Last question, as always, is from Lenny. He's not reading it. I'm just reading it for him. He likes your podcast. He has listened to it around the NFL. But he wants to know why it takes 4 adult men to make one show when it only takes us 1 woman and 1 dog. That's a good question.
Well, we don't bring as, you know, there's a lot, like Lenny to me is worth how many people? The type of skill set that,
so
that
you're,
he
it's
brings.
Like 3 men are standing in for Lenny. Is what
pretty much, yeah. There's good. 1 is equal to you, 3 for Lenny. And yeah, we're not that talented. So it's like we have to make up for each other's flaws.
And yet dogs are still not allowed to vote.